It is episode 410 of This Is Whole Life, the weekly podcast that originates from the second floor in the cul-de-sac at the end of the hall, also known as Randy's office. And each week we discuss the things and the themes and the messages that happen the previous week here at Whole Life Church. You can tune in, and we would encourage you to tune in every week, wholelife.church/live, and you can join us for each service. We have a chat feature there. We'd love you to be a part of our online family and give us your questions, which we'll get to a couple of those here in a few minutes. But first and foremost, who is sitting across from me? It's not Melanie. Melanie's on my left. Mm-hmm. Ken, as always, is on the right hand. And across.
Although he would prefer to be on the left hand since he's left-handed. So,
you know, maybe we should, the new chair should be here today. Maybe when we get the new chairs, we'll start new beginnings and Ken can sit on the left.
Although I am sitting on the left looking at you for me. So that actually does work.
That
so
does
I'll
work
stay
better.
On your right hand now that I think about it.
Okay.
Well, just some of us aren't that picky, so I'll just sit wherever.
I am high maintenance.
Wait a minute. High maintenance. Julie noted. High maintenance.
Oh, wow. You're just figuring that out now, Randy. Huh?
Okay. Yeah. So sitting across from me on a really cool chair just like mine and in front of a microphone that looks just like mine, someone who doesn't look anything like me, thank goodness for her, to introduce us, who is our special guest today?
I'm Danielle.
There you go.
And yay, Danielle.
Danielle, it seems like I've seen you around here quite a bit. Tell us how you got to Whole Life.
Well,
we rescued you from Canada.
Well, rescued? I don't know about rescued.
Oh, I would use that word.
Oh, okay. You haven't been part of
Canada. I can see that what do they call it when you pull somebody out of a cult and you have to deprogram it. That hasn't been completely finished yet.
I don't know. But, been here 30 seconds and she already has sass. I like this.
So what brought you here?
My mom became a pastor here in...
Really?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Anderlene Brady.
Oh, right. Yeah. I know Anderlene. Yeah, she's awesome.
I've heard of her.
Yeah, I didn't put the... No, just kidding. I kid. So how did you... Now, this is a safe place. You can answer honestly. Did you volunteer to speak or were you voluntold to speak?
Well, I was joking about it. I was like, preaching can't be that bad. You're just talking.
Look at Ken. If he can do it, can't be that hard.
So your suspicions were correct? Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Okay. What was the hardest part?
The preparation and then going up there twice. Yes.
Twice. I know. That's the thing.
Did you feel tired afterwards?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Nap time?
I tell people, like, preaching once will wear you out. Preaching twice, I don't even know how Randy Roberts does it. He told me, I think he does 5 services.
A week?
On Sabbath, yeah. I think it was either 4 or 5, but I think it was 5. That's why I can't remember. My brain exploded when I heard that.
I've seen 4.
But it's tiring, right? It's like physically tiring. Yeah. Yeah, it's like running a little race or something.
Mm-hmm. But truthfully, do it again?
Maybe.
All right, great.
Well, no, maybe. You got it. You did too good to not do it again.
No, agreed.
Oh, okay. Maybe I should have done worse.
Well, that's always the price of excellence.
It's too late now.
Well, thank you. You came after school today to come and be on the podcast. Unfortunately, Chelsea couldn't be here, but also an equally just...
Both of you just did so good. God really put a good word on both of your hearts, and it was... Great.
Ken was from afar.
Yeah, I watched first service. And I was told, Danielle, that second service you really it felt even more comfortable for you.
Is what
somebody said, that you felt like it was more comfortable for you second service. And I thought, wow, well, I thought about actually staying where I was at and being like, well, they've got the pulpit covered just fine.
Yeah, no, it's Ken's like, I think he's starting to take more time off. I think I saw the calendar pop up.
Well, when you have this good of speakers, you got to give people a chance, right?
Right, no. And the summer series is coming up. I mean, have we scheduled everyone for that yet? The Voices of Whole Life?
I think you'd have to talk to Melanie about
that. It's in the works.
Well, now we know we've got extras we can add there. All right. I just fallen volunteered you. I didn't volunteer you. I just volunteered. So.
And that, if you did it then, you'd get a whole 30 minutes yourself. So.
25.
Yeah. Or as I like to tell myself, 30 to 35.
Yeah. We've never turned the microphone off on anyone just yet.
So. Yet.
Yet.
Well, you could be number one. You know, be a trailblazer. All right. Well, we're going to get into the messages here in just a moment. But first, because this is the last podcast before... Danielle.
Church retreat.
Yes.
See? Nice.
See, that's what I like to hear.
Danielle knows what's going on.
She knows. She knows. And she also knows that if you show up this week at 2800 North Orange Avenue, what are you going to find?
No one.
An empty church.
With locked doors and two little
signs. Let me rephrase that. An empty building.
That's better.
There we go. Yeah.
Empty building. And there's a little music thing on the door when you pull in. It goes, wah, wah, wah. No, it doesn't. But the sign kind of says that.
And what you will get is some quality alone time with God.
So, well, the fire pit.
If that's what you're needing.
Or you can just go to your car and sit in it, turn on the air conditioning, make sure your phone is, you know, plugged into the Bluetooth in your car and listen to the streaming package that Melanie's putting together for...
Well, Abel's putting it together, but we've got one happening.
There will be a stream package?
There will.
I guess...
It won't be the live... It's not what's happening out at Church Retreat. But it's... Right. I think it's a best of. It's like a best greatest hits album or something. Yeah.
So maybe are we leaving the last two? Are we leaving these sermons in?
We may as well just show last week's because it was so good.
Let's do it again. I think we could do that. All right. So there will be a stream for those of you that are not available to be in person, and those of you who are not going to be here because you're at church retreat. So don't forget to do that. There will actually be in the show notes today a link to the stream for your convenience, just so that you have it readily available. But it's always on the homepage on the front. It's in the big orange button that says stream, so you can use that. All right, what else? Oh, hey, we have another email this week.
Oh, we got another one.
Yeah, let's see if Ken can guess who this might be.
Carolina Dave.
Doggone it. He guessed before we even started.
Oh, you told me to guess.
Okay, here we go. So before I give my feedback on the Easter podcast, can I just say that I was absolutely inspired by this last Sabbath youth-led service. They were great. I know a lot of folks say that the youth are the future of the church, and in a technical linear sense, that is true, and it is a well-meant sentiment. But I think this last week's service at Whole Life just proves that the youth are the church. That's in all caps. Whole Life is so lucky to have them, and I can't wait for the next service that they lead, and I hope it is soon. They are awesome. I really enjoyed last week's podcast. Gave me a lot to think over and chew on. Thank you to everyone, as always, for providing a robust discussion. I do feel the need to clarify a few things. Number one, unless there's a gun to my head, I will never get on a plane used for skydiving.
I think I predicted that last week.
There it is.
That's never in bold.
I stand corrected.
Just nope. Just nope. So Ken is safe from my devious intentions to personally push him out of a plane. Two, if he decides to open another theological can of worms, Melanie has my full permission to push him out of the aforementioned plane. All in the spirit of Christian love, of course. Of course. We know your heart, Dave. We know. We know. Hope everyone has a lot of fun and stays safe at church retreat. Wish I could be there. Maybe next year. Just no skydiving to get there. And yes, I know I suggested skydiving for the 400th episode. Shouldn't have done that. LOL. Thank you so much for doing this podcast. It is one of the best parts of my week. And as always, you folks are in my prayers. Carolina Dave.
Thank you.
It's one of the best parts of our week too, Carolina Dave.
Yeah, looking at those emails.
I know. That's what I said.
The rest of you should write us a little bit more often.
You know, we do open them. And most of the time, Randy even responds. Unless you email me back a week later and you're like, excuse me, sir, you did not respond to my previous email, to which I will humbly fall on the sword and ask for, what's the word on the, grace, forgiveness.
I think we always ask for permission before we read emails too, right?
Yeah, most of the time. So I get emails where people are like, look, you know, here's what I want to say, but I don't really need you to read it on the podcast. And that's totally cool. We understand that as well. All right. So tell me. When you kind of was like, hey, speaking can't be that hard. Let's throw the hat in the ring and let's join up with Chelsea and be a part of this. What did you guys talk together to find out a subject like what you each were going to talk about, or just like, hey, we're going in our separate directions? And if so, how did you come to what you wanted to talk about?
So we found out each other's topics like 2 weeks before, I believe, when we practiced for the first time. So they ended up like coming together really well.
They did work together very well. Did you did you expect them? You didn't give them directions on that.
No, they came with their own topics.
Man. Yeah. So what brought about your topic, and is creation still happening, or has it stopped, or?
Well, I came across this random fact. I don't know. I get like a bunch of science stuff, and it was like talking about cell regeneration or something. And then I don't know, like I went down like a rabbit hole in my mind and I ended up with that topic.
So you end up with the topic. I thought it was a creative topic. I don't think I've ever heard anyone actually spell it out that way specifically before. So I was like, okay, where's she going with this? This could be fun. And then I saw Ken jump in the chat during first service about the root language of a verse. Tell us about, how did that come about? Because that was really cool.
Well, for a lot of it was Melanie's help, and then also she did recommend like using Blue Letter Bible.
So oh, I love Blue Letter, yeah.
I found that fun to like look through the different languages and like how they work.
So was it a surprise? Like when the way you thought the message when you started, and then you start digging into, okay, now I've got the Blue Letter Bible at my disposal here, and now I'm maybe completely different, or did it stay on course for you?
Well, it started like with a simple idea, and then like once I found the languages, it was like, oh, this is way more complex than I thought. So,
well, I thought you did a great job taking the complex and making it really, really simple.
Understandable.
I shouldn't say simple. Understandable is a better term for, because it just seemed like, I don't know, usually when it gets to creation, there's lots of, I don't know, to me, there's a lot of things that I don't think I know, or maybe none of us know, or we might have a good idea about. And this just seemed like, well, what do you mean? Is it still going? Didn't we decide that it was done? Didn't God decide it was done? No.
I don't know.
what's your heart say? Even if you said, if you left it a little bit open to interpretation, in your after preparing for the message, what do you think?
I think it was finished in like a sense that, like when it was finished, it was finished with a purpose, I guess, and that would continue. So
with the purpose in mind.
Yeah.
Never thought about it that way. Melanie, I know most people probably don't know this, but Melanie and Ken each week go through and do a little sermon prep and kind of go through some things and see if there's anything that could be different or better or worse or removed or taken.
We added. Try not to do the worst.
Right. We try to stay away from that one. But when the girls showed up to do their sermon walkthroughs with you, and you kind of knew probably where they were going a little bit beforehand, was there anything that surprised you or anything that just like was like, oh man, this is going to be a great message?
Well, I shouldn't say I'm surprised about this, because I know both of these young ladies, but they're very deep thinkers. And so when they came to me with their ideas and we started discussing, you know, what they had in mind and how they wanted to unpack, I was really impressed at the level of thought that had gone into their pre-preparation.
And Ken, you were, like we mentioned earlier, you were hanging out, where were you? You were up north somewhere.
Yeah.
South up north, I guess.
About 10 years ago, I hired a guy named Levi to work at Indian Creek Camp with me for a summer. I hired about 70 or so people to work with me every summer, and Levi was one of our staff. He was a photographer, did some counseling for us, and I got a call from him a couple months ago, said, hey, I'm planning on getting married, and wondered if there's any chance you'd be able to officiate the wedding. So
nice.
It was a big honor to be able to go up and be a part of he and his beautiful wife's wedding. So, yeah.
10 years.
Yeah.
There's a song in my head, but I can't think of what the name of it is, but it's there. But we'll go by that one. So,
okay.
You're hanging out online, and you were there for first, you weren't there second service.
Yeah,
right?
The wedding was in the afternoon, I had to get going, so.
But it was almost a different, vibe when normally we're listening to Ken, and this time we're listening to Chelsea, and then Danielle followed right after her. And to have Ken in the chat was a little weird.
Yeah, just weird you out a little bit, just like.
Well, because it's not usually. And then, you know, Ken was giving commentary, and I'm like, man, he's a pretty good host. We might have to get him involved on the team as well, because every time he's gone and when he's checked in, I'm like, he was right there with comments and questions and go for it and good job. And people afterwards were like, man. I talked to Tito downstairs and a bunch of different people who were just so excited that they thought that they'd heard, a couple people heard it was Youth Sabbath, but they didn't know that it was you and Chelsea speaking. And they were just like really, like there was a palpable excitement. And I think Ken was bringing that into the chat because I only got to be there for just a little bit. So I felt like everyone was just really, really excited. And I'll send you the chat transcripts because you guys were way more popular than even two weird guys that showed up in the earlier part of the service, Randy and Randy. And so, which...
By the way, I literally got a text message from Rochelle as I'm at this on the way to the wedding venue. It's like,
you need to rein that staff.
Randy is an amazing staff member at Whole Life. She's like, that was incredible. So, you know. Well, the praise doesn't get any higher than that.
No, I'll take it. Thank you, Rochelle. But really, the majority of the credit has to go to Melanie because we were trying to figure out, because we were supposed to do and give Max a nice send-off, which they did again this week in the chat. They were just like really supportive, and that was cool. And I got the chance to talk to his dad this week. That was fun. But at, I don't know what time we talked on Friday, and Melanie's like, no, it should be Randy and Randy, like split personalities, something
funny.
Like that. And then we taped it in my office and tried not to move the camera to make the background work. And it was a little bit of movie magic to make it work. And she was off camera doing the side shots. But overall, it was it was fairly entertaining, even just in the chat.
I felt like it was better than the Parent Trap.
And so many of you said, I told you I would answer this question on the podcast, reason to bring this up. No. We're not doing that every other week.
Like every Max week.
No.
Every week.
No, that's
it's not that hard.
It's an editing nightmare.
I was so impressed. I mean, your expressions matched up. I was like, wow, that took some work right there.
I get a text message from Randy at like 2 o'clock in the morning. Well, I finished it.
Oh my gosh. To get the, you would think the same background, although when you switch sides of the camera, the lighting is off. Mm-hmm. So to try to get everything to balance. And I did find one super hack that if you notice that little line right there down the center, if you move the other camera over in post-production, it actually let you not be able to tell where the line was. It was because that's why I was to something in the morning, because I couldn't figure out how to make this look more realistic than it really was. And then it came, and then it all hit. So anyway,
it turned out
I want to see you give yourself a hug and high five yourself. So that's really what I want to see next time.
All right.
Challenge accepted.
The challenge has been issued.
It's been laid down.
We may have to talk to Stanley and get a little bit more upscale on the recording of said process in order to make that happen. Because I was pushing my editing skills to what the limit of what they may do. So, well, the other part that I wanted to talk about too, I know Chelsea's not here, but one of the things that really resonated, I think, was number one, she had a great story to tell, one that I think resonated with everybody. We've all been in that place where we feel like we go through the lull and we have really good intentions, and every night at 8 o'clock, I'm going to do this Bible study, and I'm going to be, and then school starts, and then, or something else in your life changes, and that kind of goes by the wayside. And she said, I accepted the lie that I must do something in order for God to love me. Hmm. And when you listen to her talk about how sincere she was, like how much this time that she spent with God really meant to her, that's when your heart starts going, oh yeah, I remember that time. And I was really feeling like I was really in a groove with me and God were like all the time, and we were throughout the day, and it was a really good time. And man, things felt so good. And then whatever it was that caused it to move out of that special space. And you could really feel it. I thought she did a great job of doing that, of portraying that to us of where she was in that time in her life. And it made me also think that sometimes we would maybe not give as much weight to someone who hasn't lived a long and full life to know the difference between, or to have wisdom of life stories. And man, her story resonated so well. I just thought that was
1 Timothy 4:12.
Which is?
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, so looked it up. I don't have time to look up my Bible right now. So 1 Timothy 4:12.
And don't put it in the show notes. Just make them look it up themselves.
Okay, so Ken says you got to look it up on your own.
BlueLetterBible.org.
BibleGateway.com.
The Bible app, Bible.com. I'm into typing
look at
short.
Look you, Randy.
I'm typing short as much as I can. Hey, I once recommended a book on this show. So there we go.
It wasn't the Bible.
It wasn't,
huh?
Yes.
It wasn't the Bible, but it probably should have been. Anyhow, the thing was that statement that she accepted that lie felt so personal. And the Jeff, who was part of the online family this past week in the chat, responded and said, I'm in a similar story, not trying to gain his favor, but I'm trying to rekindle my own flame. And I'm like, you know, that maybe resonates just as hard, because I think a lot of us know we don't have to gain his favor, but yet if you know you don't have to gain his favor, then how am I accepting this lie that I have to do something in order? It's one that seems very obvious, and yet it might be the one the devil uses most often, because it's just super easy and we fall for it every time, like the rat to the cheese. I don't.
You know, that's so interesting that he mentions rekindling his own flame. Can you do that?
Well, I think there's a certain amount of I kind of took it as I'm trying to be intentional about putting myself on a track that I think will put me closer to God. And I'm at least conscious about the fact that I'm not where I want to be. But I don't know if you can actually rekindle it. I think that, but how do you hold on long enough until whatever, I mean, it's got to be the God, the Holy Spirit, right? Rekindling it. But if it doesn't feel like it's happening, that's also a really lonely place to be.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is, I think, and I think about this in terms of what Chelsea was describing in her story, but we're really quick to take responsibility for not feeling like we have that ultimate connection or something like that. And I think there is a part where God is talking to the children of Israel, and God says, I made you hungry so that I could feed you. And I wonder if sometimes we get to this place where it's like, oh no, you know, something needs to be rekindled here. There's something wrong. And so we take responsibility for that. And especially those of us who are perfectionists, like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? I must study the Bible every night at 8 o'clock. I must pray for 6 hours on my knees or I need to perform this thing. And I wonder if sometimes those experiences, I mean, if you're shutting yourself off and you're not open, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if you feel hungry for something that you don't have, maybe that's a preparation time more so than just a total disconnection.
I don't feel like I give myself credit though in those times. Like, well, it's not, maybe this way. I was thinking about it a little bit in thinking about Easter program. Right? Like you come to church on Easter and you come to church on Christmas and it's a special, it's the first Advent, it's the second Advent, it's everything we have ever hoped for, dreamed of, and lay our trust in every hope that we have as Christians in. And it seems like you like this, just this past Easter, I mean, we worshiped and the Holy Spirit was just palpable in the worship center, and you kind of leave that. And you go, wow, man, I wish every day left me feeling just a little bit like this one, because I do feel closer. I do feel like I'm more connected, and anything less than that must be less than that, right? Or do we, because we compartmentalize those experiences as to, ooh, that was worship, instead of the everyday mundane things that we don't realize might be a bigger deal than they actually are for us. and go, oh, man, that was, even if it's just, man, I got that off my chest. That felt really good. That's cathartic. And that makes me feel like maybe there's not a wall now that I can maybe talk to God about something. But I think realizing that isn't easy also when you're not really sure why, like, why don't I feel like I'm that connected? Well, it's because it wasn't Easter Sabbath. Well, it's got to be more than just the highs, and maybe quantifying the lows needs to be more. Well, it's obviously something we're not good at, or at least I'm not good at it.
I think this is one of the lessons of the Sabbath, that God created the world in 6 days. And then when he created human beings on the sixth day, they didn't have to do anything to be created. They were created. And then after they were created, the only thing they had to do is rest for that first day after they were created. And I think that a lot of times we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to create ourselves, to create the world around us. We blame ourselves when we're not being as productive. I think particularly in the culture that we live in, there's a strong idea that if you're not doing something, you don't have worth, and that you're somehow failing if you're in a place in life where something needs to be rekindled. I'm not sure that I believe it. Hebrews talks about that there's now a Sabbath rest, and that moves maybe beyond the seventh day idea of rest and into a bigger idea of rest, and that we now can rest in Christ. And one of the things I'm really working in my own life, and I've got a long ways to go, is to be okay with God's timing in my life, and being okay with when I don't feel as close to God as I know I should feel to him, and where I'm not doing everything the way I want to be doing it, when I'm failing as a pastor, as a husband, as a father, and when I'm like, and I know I'm not doing well, but just being okay with not being okay. Not to say that I don't want to be transformed, that I don't want to be a better person. That's not at all what I'm saying, because I do. But to take a moment and say, okay, Ken, but you're not going to fix that. You're not God. That's God's work in you, and he will do it when God is good and ready to do it in his time, in his way. And so I think, and again, this is no encouragement to not seek growth in your life or to do it, but it is an encouragement that if you aren't getting the growth that you wish that you were seeing or feeling the fire that you know you ought to be feeling, to maybe just take a break and say, you know what, God, you're the God that brought order out of chaos in 6 days, and then you're the God that on the seventh day said, just rest with me. Rest in what I've done. And maybe just take a breath and let God's work be enough in your life. And again, that's not saying, I'm not at all saying don't pray and ask God for what it is that you know you need or you feel like you need. But also be prepared for God to give you something different. Rochelle had just the most profound thing I hadn't thought about yesterday, that she's in her worship, she's in the story of Elijah, and I hate to waste a good story that I can steal from her and use in a sermon. But you think about Elijah doing, you know, fire comes down from heaven on Mount Carmel, and then he goes and he outruns a chariot all the way to, you know, Ahab's palace. And then the next thing you know, he's off in the desert crying about, you know, oh, they're trying to kill me, you know. And, you know, I've always focused on the, oh, here's, you know, hey, look, there's this big event. God does this incredible thing. And, you know, next thing you know, you're off crying about things because that's not enough. And Rochelle said something that just hit me between the eyes. She said, well, don't you think Elijah was pretty disappointed? Don't you think that he had this image in his head that after the showdown happened up on Mount Carmel, finally the Israelites would give up Baal, that they'd finally turn to God, that everybody would be ready to get on the God train that he'd been working for all his life. And he gets done, the spectacular thing happens, God's fire comes down, and yet God doesn't transform the whole nation right there on the spot into a bunch of God-seeking, God-following people. And instead, the only thing, the only result of this that he sees is that now the queen wants to kill him, and that no transformation really in the spiritual lives that he can tell. And I that just hit me between the eyes, because I mean, that's just such a, again, I want to tell God how he needs to do. Okay, you brought fire down from heaven, and now let me coach you, God. Let me tell you what comes next in the plan. Okay, next thing is you go ahead and let Ahab and you know, Jezebel be overthrown, and a righteous king comes on the throne, and your way goes around the whole nation.
Yeah, I think what Danielle was talking about towards the end of her message very much is in agreement, that says, you know, what new can be created? A new season of life, a deeper faith, a new friend of God. We have a divine purpose that was given in our beginnings. God's Spirit anointed that divine purpose. And the smallest efforts and attempts of newness can accomplish a great purpose. Being created and blessed as reflections of God gives us a role in the masterpiece of a plan. And I think, like you were saying, maybe that doesn't look the same as what we think it's going to, but how cool that this idea of creation still going on, even in us, and creating new things in us that we're finally ready for, even after we do the supersized cool thing you led us to do. God followed through and did everything that made it spectacular, but then to also just be like, well, seems like another Tuesday around here to me. Someone still wants to kill me. I guess it rained, but okay. That's it. Okay. And I know Ken has a heart out here.
So I wanted to say something, though. You know, sometimes when you preach, you know, the spotlight tends to be a little bit on the preaching, but I just want to take a moment and acknowledge all of our youth that did so much.
That's true.
This Sabbath. And let me say, not just this Sabbath, but so many Sabbaths. I think that our church, I'm guessing the average person doesn't realize how many of our youth help out with our AV team on a regular basis, help out with our music on a regular basis. And I just want to say to all of our youth, you guys are awesome. You're not the church of tomorrow. Like Carolina Dave said, you're the church of right now. Mm-hmm. You're incredibly important. This church needs you right now, not 20 years from now. And I was so proud, and I wasn't here to experience, but I heard about our youth being out in the lobby greeting people, inside the worship center greeting people, just doing a lot of different functions around this church, and I was just incredibly proud. I just, you know, for all of our young people, I just want you to know how grateful I am that you've found a home at Whole Life, that you're part of the family, and a vital part of it. And for the parts that we see, we're grateful for. And for the parts that you don't see, we're equally grateful for that. The music was fantastic, and that was run by our youth. And I think it's also worth taking a moment to just thank Carla Meunier, our youth pastor, young adult youth pastor, for doing a great job of lining this Sabbath up. I think it's really worth taking a moment to thanking Melanie for investing time and effort into helping the people who are preaching. And I think, you know, Danielle, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that a lot of people assume that because your mom was a pastor, she wrote the sermon or helped you at least with it. Did she help you at all?
No.
And not because she wouldn't have been willing to, right? But you said, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to do this. And so you got help from Melanie and did that. But, you know, the thoughts, the ideas, they were yours, and they were, you know, fantastic. So for that, that was good. And I want to say thank you to Albert, because Albert invested a lot of time. And and the cool thing was that Albert was telling us how many of the people he was working with, our young people, were like, hey, I can do more. I can do, let me go ahead and do this. I can do this. And I thought it was just so cool. And I think that I know, as somebody who was watching online, I watched and I thought, this is a Whole Life service. You know, sometimes when you watch or you're a part of a children's church or youth church, you're like, well, the quality is going to go down for a week. And we're okay with that, but to me, the quality was there as it would be any other week. And that's because, firstly, we have quality young people. And secondly, we have quality adults who are coaching and helping and saying, hey, you can do it. You just need a little, you know, here's a little tip here, a little thing that I've learned, and just so grateful for all that team that works so hard to make that happen, from our youth to our staff and anybody I left out. But good job, team.
Somebody in the hall told me that it feels like that the youth here are being mentored.
Yeah.
They're not being talked to. They're not being coached, even though coached mentoring might say the same thing. But I feel like mentoring feels more like it's an investment than just like, hey, I'm paid to coach you. But if I'm your mentor, I do it for the other reason. All right. Now, before Ken, you got 30 seconds. You got to be here for this, because you mentioned at the beginning of your message, we're going all the way to the beginning, that you were a pescatarian.
Pescatarian.
You know, what, you eat bugs? You're like John the Baptist? And we had to talk food, but then I'm looking at you, I'm pescatarian. So what's a pescatarian?
So you eat everything basically, but you don't eat like chicken or beef and pork and so on.
And so on. So you'll eat anything.
So my understanding is it's like vegetarian plus fish.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Okay, right. We can go along with that, because we always have to talk food here. But your favorite place to eat in Orlando.
Oh, that's hard.
What are you going to give your recommendation? Because we usually like to throw something out there for, you know, everyone to think about where they might like to eat. So we need to know where Danielle likes to eat.
Ooh, okay.
Can't say Chick-fil-A. I'm just kidding. Look at me putting you know, borders on you. That's
wrong. They serve fish at Chick-fil-A?
Probably not. Oh, that's right. Why do you need a Chick-fil-A? A Chick-fil-A.
Shit. Not fish fillet.
Oh, Chick-fil-A. Oh, gotcha.
That was pretty good.
So what's that? What's your, like, if you could pick, and it's like, hey, mom, she's paying the bill.
Pick a genre of food if you can.
Oh, that could be good, too.
Oh, that's hard. Okay, so probably... recently, it's been Indian and Greek food.
Oh,
excellent.
Greek.
Nice. No, good answer. That's
it. Okay. I knew we had to get that part in. The other part is, I knew for a fact that your mom hadn't coached you on your message, and I'll tell you why. Because as we're listening, I was out and about first service as usual. Second service, I was sitting about halfway back with my family, and of course, I know your mother well enough to know her voice. And as you were saying certain things, she was like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Come on now. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. And then, and I was like, So she didn't. So I had my suspicions that she was hearing the message in real time for the first time. And I was excited for her, because it'd be pretty cool to see your child grow up and do a little preaching. And she was definitely... you know, you weren't here because it was staff meeting this morning, but she was pretty proud, Mama. So that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, she definitely was. She actually asked me like a couple weeks before, like, so how are things going? I say, you're going to be proud, Mom. You're going to be proud.
Absolutely. I just, you know, this whole idea of the word finished, you know, the root being telos, and the final end of Jesus' life, fulfilling God's promise. I just... the attainment of his overall, like you said, telos. And I just thought that putting anyone who belongs to Christ, becoming a new person, the old life is gone. And I know I've never thought about the finished part being part of the new. I mean, even though we know that we become, you know, he even says you have to become like a little child, you have to be born again. But I've never thought about that part and the connection. And so putting that together was super meaningful. Has putting this together in this study made you look at like your faith any differently? Has it made you look at Jesus any differently? Or was it just like, okay, I got this. I did my sermon and I'm okay. Or did it really, because it really made me, I'm still thinking about what you talked about and Chelsea as well. Mm-hmm.
So for me, I feel like it made me like see my faith differently, because I'm like a type of person, I guess you would say a type A personality, where I'm like trying to meet goals and then it's done and that. Whew, and so sometimes I have that approach and like my relationship with God, and Chelsea's sermon, and then also like studying what I was studying, it really helped me like, I guess, see my relationship with God and how I approach it in a different way. So.
Okay, cool. One thing that I forgot to mark down was we had a comment. So I'm going to ask you a question about Chelsea's message, because, you know, you're here.
You're representing.
Yeah, you're representing. So that's it. Chelsea talked about being in the struggle, and we talked about that a little bit. But what if you're deep in the struggle and you don't see an end in sight? You know, or maybe you see one, but it's like, well, that's not, like, I don't know if I like that outcome. What I mean, all I see is doom and gloom. What do you see from even your message or hers that you can hold on to say, I'm okay, I think I can make this?
I guess you can find hope in the fact that there's always, like, renewal happening. And so I guess, like, even though that, like, a time could be, like, continually, like, awful and, like, doom and gloom, as you said, but I guess that idea of renewal can give hope, even if that hope, that hopeful moment is far.
Especially if you've seen that renewal in your own experience, or if you've been able to observe that renewal in somebody else's experience too.
Yeah.
Well, Randy R. Sent in a question or a comment saying, creation is ongoing. The universe is many billions of years old and provides evidence of the ongoing nature of creation. Nicely done, Danielle. See, everyone, and just great job, Chelsea, no surprise here, but wonderful and meaningful message. You know, all through the chat, there were people that were just moved about with what you guys were talking about. And I think just with the delivery and that it was just done very, very well in what you researched and what you talked about. And Melly and I were at lunch, and we've got one more for you. Dum, 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 dum.
Oh, no.
No. So,
don't you love it when he starts a question with that sound? You know it's going to be good.
Do you think creation will be ongoing even after we get to heaven, or do you think it'll be complete? What do you think? After we get to heaven.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that, actually.
I hadn't either. Blame it on Melanie. But I thought it was a fun question for, and I don't know if we need an answer necessarily, but just from thinking about the message, I guess what your message in some part left me thinking about was those kinds of questions. Because maybe there's not a great black and white answer that we can just put our thumb on and go, yep, that's what it is. But in, like, there's so much we don't know about heaven in general. But, like, what would God create, or could, or will we create, or could we create, or what could there be in store for us? And I thought that was I haven't stopped thinking about that. I wasn't going to ask the question because I'm like, man, that's really wrong to throw a question like that at somebody without knowing, because I don't think there's a great answer. But I think there's a lot of opportunity to do what you did in your message and put out the what ifs with really cool ideas and maybe what could be's.
Well, sometimes I think those are some of the most fun questions because there aren't good answers, which means there's not a right answer or a wrong answer.
Yeah, no,
so
that's true.
So you can just go with your gut on this one, Daniel. What do you think?
A prediction.
I think it would be really cool if it was completed because, like, something that was promised, it was, like, fully fulfilled in a way. And, like, that's your ending. And it's, like, kind of like a fairy tale ending in heaven, you know, with God and stuff.
I like it because the first thinking about the creation, the way you laid that out and that ending was really a beginning and then Jesus' ending was really a beginning and maybe heaven's another ending but a new beginning and yeah. we just don't know that what's in store for us. So next time you preach, if they don't give you a topic, what's your next subject?
I didn't know there's a next time.
Well, I'm just preparing you because I have a feeling that you're not done speaking at least at Whole Life yet. I think there's more opportunities to come. I hope there is. And she's looking at me like, I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm going to say yes. Well, I would. Overall, though, positive experience. Were you happy you did it?
Yeah, I was happy.
Yeah. Lots of people were happy that you said yes to and to Chelsea. I've known Chelsea. Her and Ellie went to school together for many years and have been really, really good friends. And so I've gotten to know her and her sister. And both of y'all just were amazing. And when I asked who, because I was thinking for podcasts, I was like, we're going to have to get in touch. And I was like, who's preaching? And when I was like, oh, we're in good hands. We're in good hands. Well, that's just awesome. Anything else that we forgot to cover? I mean, we talked about, like, what you should do with church retreat. Mm-hmm. Plan on being there, not here. The show notes will have your link to the stream package. There'll be some stuff for you to enjoy on Sabbath morning.
And the following week when we come back.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah, from church retreat. Yeah, we're going to have a special guest speaker. The speaker for the Advent Health University graduation is going to be speaking for our worship service. So Ron Smith will be here. And also we will be hosting the GCA Orchestra. So that will be very cool as well.
Ooh, the orchestra. Man, we've had amazing music. It seems like forever, but like just, you know, you got Easter and now we're doing, you know, it's always fun at church retreat. And then, wow, that's pretty good.
So
and then the week after that, like, we don't need to tell them about that yet, do we? The 27th?
Well, the 27th is we're going to be doing a launch of something really cool. And it has to do with our theme being connected this year and making sure that people are actually making those connections. We're going to do something really fun that we're launching April 27. You will find out more later.
That is if we survive church retreat.
If we survive church retreat.
We will survive somehow.
The odds are ever in our favor.
No. If he's with us, who can be against us? That's what I keep saying. That's what I keep telling myself. Oh, Maxwell, where are you, my friend? No, we are going to survive. It's going to be fun. I hope that for any of you that maybe this might be your first church retreat, please find, you know, everyone will have you'll have a name badge. We'll all have name badges and staffs will look a little bit different and we'll be wearing whole life swag. So that'll be one way. Although that's not a good,
people wear whole life swag.
A lot of people will, but look for those name tags. And if you go to the website, get to know your staff member's picture. And even though their pictures are a little bit old, could be a couple pounds one way or the other, a different hairstyle, whatever. Come and say hello.
I'm not sure who you're talking about, Randy.
It's yours truly. definitely yours truly. So come and say hello, shake a hand, and introduce yourself, because I feel like a lot of times I get emails from people I'm not exactly sure, and I can go look you up in CCB and like if you have your picture there and try to put a name with the face. But it's always nice to get a handshake. And John promises that the coffee bar isn't going to close. It's going to be 24/7. Not really, just most of the time. Anyway, that's what John said. So blame him.
And if you're a podcast listener and you haven't been to Whole Life yet, or if you're one of our online family members and we haven't met you in person yet, definitely come say hi.
It'll
be super fun.
Now that's what's known in podcast world as a fastball right across the plate, because you're not going to want to miss the podcast that we're doing at the church retreat this year. Normally it's in the afternoon after the message, but our guest speaker has another engagement. He's very much sought after. And he will be getting us the message a little early so we can prepare as a podcast team. 9:45 in the King Chapel, we will be having a live podcast with John Rivers of Four Roots, of Four Rivers Barbecue, and he will be our guest speaker. And then we'll go after that and actually listen to the message he's going to be talking about. So I'm not sure exactly all what we'll talk about with him, but it will be interesting. I've been looking online, some of the interviews he's done and just what I know about him, I think it's going to be really interesting. So we're going to have 45 minutes, probably not a ton of time for a lot of questions, because 45 minutes goes really really fast. And then it's like over. But because we have to keep up with the next schedule, it won't be quite as long as normal, which is okay. It's okay. But it's going to be fun. So make sure that you're there 9:45 to 10:45, I believe. Or is it 40? Is it 45 minutes?
That's
I can't remember.
That's a great question, Randy.
There's a lot
the
of numbers.
The numbers are all running together
in
my head right now.
There's a lot of numbers right now. But anyway, 9:45 in the King Chapel, and there will be some signs up so that you know where to go. And if you don't, just ask. But definitely come and say hello. Would love to meet you in person. Or even if I know you, just come pick it up anyway and just be like, hey, how's it going?
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Church retreat is on the horizon, and we'll do that. And plus, next week, also look for two bonus episodes. We will have his Friday night message and his Saturday message will be on the podcast. And if I'm feeling well rested and well caffeinated, I might even put those out on Friday night and on Saturday.
Wow.
And those will be in both feeds, Speaking of Grace and This Is Whole Life, this bonus episode. So in case you're not a listener of the other show, you will find it in your feed.
I'm going to get another text message at 2 a.m.
Probably.
Hey, I posted it.
I posted it. It's up. Can I have the hotspot back now?
Well, Danielle, what do you think? This is your first sermon that you preached this week, and this was your first podcast. How are you feeling?
Oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call that a ringing endorsement, but I think we're on the edge there, I think. Okay.
Yeah. I think next time we know what to expect, the stress level won't come in quite as hot to mm-hmm. start with.
Yeah.
Usually that's how I feel. Like, you do something you've never done before. The first time I was asked to preach, I was like, oh boy. And then afterwards it was done, I was like, well, it wasn't as bad as I thought. I can resonate with that. And then the next time it was like, well, I got this. This is no problem. So awesome. Well, Danielle, thank you so much. Chelsea, you may be listening. And if you are, and even if you're not, we want to thank Chelsea for bringing her message as
definitely.
Well. It was very, very well received, just like Danielle's. And so, and to like Ken said, all the youth and the people that made everything happen. And it was just a great weekend to celebrate our youth and our leaders in this church that are of all ages. So Danielle said, you all have some creative talent to bring, so make sure you bring it. That's going to do it for this week. See y'all at church retreat, and we'll be back next week. Well, I don't know what we're going to do for Ron Smith. Maybe we'll catch Ron.
I guess we'll see.
We'll see if we can catch Ron. Well, tune in next time for Will We Catch Ron? All right, guys. Thanks for listening. Have a great week. When I cut that out, that was dumb. That was so dumb. What am I doing? I'm tired. All right. I need
Will
sleep.
Will We Catch Ron? We don't know.